All right, so Seattle tied the series up last night, 1-1, and now the Tigers are coming home. Let's bring in Tony Paul, the staff writer at the Detroit News. Tony, good morning to you.
Hey, guys.
So they got one win, and it wasn't the Scooble win, or the Scooble game, which was interesting, but they did win game one, lose game two. And again, I think we're seeing a lot of the same issues. Like, their offense is struggling to hit the ball.
Well, to be fair, yeah, they are. They've definitely struggled to hit the ball for, you know, a month and a half now. It's been tough sledding down the stretch, and I don't know that any of us really expected it to just magically fix itself in the playoffs, where traditionally it gets tougher to hit anyway. I mean, you're looking at the Seattle Mariners. I mean, they've scored 5 runs as well, and they're one of the best offenses in the league. Look, I look at it this way. It's a good series. I think we've seen 2 fantastic ball games. Now the series comes to Detroit, where the Tigers, you know, technically have home field advantage now in a best-of-3 series to see who goes on to the ALCS. So, it's good baseball. You just can't predict baseball.
Tony, when your ace is on the mound in a postseason game, how frustrating is it for the team to walk away with a loss? And does that performance, you know, change any perspective on the value of a single dominant starter in October?
Yeah, I don't think it – I mean, it's frustrating anytime you lose a Tarek Skubal start. But by the way, they've actually lost, I think, 4 of his last 5 starts. And, you know, the only one he's – you know, the team has won was the game against the Guardians in the wild card series. It's frustrating. It's actually the 3rd time this year that the Mariners have beaten – you know, have beaten the Tigers when Skubal's been on the mound. Skubal pitched a great game, you know, made 2 mistake pitches, and Jorge Polanco made him pay for them. But that's what the Mariners can do. They hit home runs, and if you were the Tigers going into this series, I think you would hope that you would be tied 1-1 and having won the Scooble start. Well, you lost the Scooble start, but you're still tied 1-1 coming home for 2 games at Comerica Park. I still think you're probably in a little bit better shape than many people thought you were in. And if you split in Comerica, you know, you go back to game 5 and you get Scooble again, and I think the Tigers would take the chances at that.
And this is something you tweeted out, a retweet, that in this 2-2-1 format, teams that split the first 2 games on the road, then come home, have advanced 30 of 48 times. Those are good odds.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Tigers, I mean, they did themselves a world of good by winning that first game. And you know, they stole one. I know A.J. Hinch didn't like that term, that they stole a game, you know, but when you win game 1 on the road, you know, in a hostile environment like Seattle, and Skubal wasn't on the mound in game 1, you know, you set yourself up pretty good. Certainly they would have been in the real driver's seat if they could have picked one off yesterday. A couple missed opportunities again offensively earlier in the game. But, yeah, I mean, you're 1-1, and you get to come home for 2 games, your first home playoff games of the season with a couple sellout crowds. I think if you would have told the Tigers before then, before the series, if it was 1-1 through 2, they'd take it.
How does A.J. Hinch, you brought him up, how does his mentality change? How does his managing style change, or does it at all, with these 2 games being at home?
I don't really think it does. I think he's going to be aggressive. I think he's aggressive in opportunities to score runs. I mean, you've seen him try some different things. You've seen him change up some lineups this postseason. You've seen him bunt, which they didn't do at all during the regular season. You've seen him go to the bullpen pretty quick, except for last night because he had Skubal on the mound. I just think he's going to manage aggressively, and that's what you do in the postseason. I don't think anything really changes. They got to get at least 1 win in Detroit, and then ideally 2. And if they get 2, they get to clinch a series in Detroit for the first time since 2012, which I can't believe it's been that long since they've clinched a playoff series at Comerica Park. But I don't think he changes too much. They're still in good shape. The bottom line is, you know, people are talking about the Tigers and their offense. I mean, Seattle's one of the best offenses in the league, and they're not hitting either. I'm a baseball fan, and to me, these have been 2 really good games so far, and I expect more of the same.
How big a part does the crowd at Comerica Park how big a part are they going to play in these 2 games? I mean, does that buzz and the energy of the Detroit playoff crowd kind of translate into some wins for a team that's still trying to find their footing?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, the Tigers, yeah, I think home field advantage definitely matters. They're going to have a sellout crowd. The Tigers have sold out all 25 postseason games in Comerica Park history. they've sold out these two games. So it's going to be a loud crowd. It's going to be a buzzed crowd. I mean, these are fans that didn't know if they were even going to have a home playoff game a week ago.
That's right.
And now they get two of them. So, yeah, they're going to be pretty pumped. And the Tigers played some of the best baseball in their home ballpark of any team in the league, at least until September. I looked this up the other day. The Tigers, actually, when they take the field Tuesday night, will actually have gone more than a month since they've won a baseball game at Comerica Park.
Wow.
So September 6th was the last time they won a game at Comerica Park. They've lost their last seven. But, yeah, the crowd's going to be pumped, and they're typically a good home team. So certainly you'd rather be in the Tigers' position playing at home than on the road.
What do you need from Jack Flaherty tomorrow? I mean, he obviously got the win against Cleveland, only allowed three hits, and he struck out four. Do you need more from him?
Yeah, I think you – I mean, ideally, I mean, you need him to go deeper into the game, because I think what you're seeing, you know, the Mariners' bullpen is certainly more, you know, potent than the Tigers. They have a lot more swing and miss relievers. And, you know, here's the other thing, too. You know, the Tigers, the one thing that I think they might kick themselves, other than just losing game two, was that they had, you know, Luis Castillo on the ropes early in that game. You know, he had thrown 51 or 50 pitches through two innings. They had a chance to get him out of that game early. And the bullpen, you know, for Seattle was used, you know, a lot in game one. They had a chance to really kind of set the tone and kind of set the usage of the Mariners' bullpen. And they kind of didn't take advantage of that. Now both bullpens are going to be reset for game three. The Mariners do have the edge there. So, yeah, I think you need Flaherty and Mize these next two games to go deeper and be dominant. And if they do that, I think the Tigers will score a few runs at Comerica Park. If they do that, I think they'll be all right. But, yeah, I think the deeper you can go, the better. I mean, because I think the one clear edge here that we've seen through two games is, you know, is the bullpen for the Mariners. It's just electric.
Yeah. You know, you got Riley Green, you got Spencer Torkelson. They've had a couple of hits in this series so far. What else do we need to see out of our best hitters, do you think? I mean, aside from, you know, putting the ball in play, is there something else that we could get from them if not just hits?
Yeah, more hits.
More hits, got it.
I think,
there's only one anecdote, right? And it's more hits.
Yeah, it's more hits. I'd like to see them be more aggressive early in counts. I've seen this from the Tigers for a month and a half. They've kind of been pretty passive. You know, they've let a lot of first pitch strikes go, and sometimes that's the best pitch they still see in an at bat. And, you know, I mean, stats bear out, you know. If you get behind 0-1 in the count, the advantage shifts big time statistically to the pitcher. I just think they let too many of those good pitches go by. I think they're a little bit too passive. I think I'd like to see them come out and be a little bit more aggressive early in counts and try to force the issue a little bit.
All right, Tony, exciting week here at Comerica Park. Maybe I'll see you down there on Tuesday or Wednesday. Thanks for your time this morning.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. All right. Just get more hits.
More hits.
That's it.
We don't need more cowbell. We need more hits. go get them, Tigers. All right. We'll take a break. We're going inside the huddle. The Lions with a big win. Will you stop it, please?
Down the
Lions,
field.
Big win. Yay! In Cincinnati yesterday. We'll talk to Lomas Brown on JR Morning.